You know, these banks these days, these telecom companies, these oil companies, all they want is first class, second class upper. You must be less than the age of 25. Say, how old are you? I'm 28. You say, double jeopardy. It's okay anyway. Maybe you know people. Who do you know? Where's your father? He's late. Your mother? She's in the village. Any uncle? They're all dead. Opario. And listen to me. Let me say this. This is what Christianity is. Or this is what Christianity is not. Christianity is not that we deny that those things are real or that they affect things. We know they do. There are young men, young women who leave school. Before they leave, the job is waiting. The car is attached, everything is there. The father has already plotted his way up to become executive director in a telecom company, an oil company, in a big bank. You know, so it's already lined up. So don't tell me, Pastor Bank, that those things don't matter. That's what an average unbeliever will tell you, and an average unbelieving Christian. We're not saying it's not like that. This is what we are saying. That is death. When a man doesn't have it, father is dead, mother is in the village, third class from university, uncles, none of them to be found. Even his pastor doesn't know him. And in case the pastor knows him, either he doesn't have connection or he's one of those crazy pastors that don't know how to help anybody by arranging connection. You follow what I'm saying? That's what death is. Now, this is what life is. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, man does not live by bread alone. What is bread? First class. A connected father. Mother that is born of a connected father. You know, the mother is the daughter of a former president, former VP, former this, former that. Uncles are all in high places. That is bread. Now, it's a man does not live by bread alone. It means that there are many people who acquire their life by bread. Are you getting what I'm saying? They have all those things. He said, but by every word. So that's why God didn't try to share it equally. That all of us must be born by the same kind of parents, the same kind of background. He said it is irrelevant. If we all get every word, the natural disadvantages disappear. And the natural advantages are inconsequential. Don't know what I hear what I said. But by every word, what does it mean? That young man, God will ask him and say, what do you want me to do for you? He said, my friends have good jobs in telecom companies, oil companies, banks, big accounting firms, international companies. He said, do you want one? I would like that very much. And God will say simply to him, if you obey my word, I won't give you one. I will make you give out those jobs. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are following the point I'm making. Now listen, an average believer, now let me tell you, that's why natural advantages are actually spiritual disadvantages for believers. Because natural disadvantages do something for you. They force you to look for help. Last time I was telling the story of Sunday Adelaja, about the pastor who came to his church, who was highly literate, who was totally poor. Because he didn't know much, because he didn't have anything, the little money he could gather together, he had to look to the word of God, which was what God wanted everybody, including the rich, to look at. He did. In a few months, he got the point. In a year, he was a millionaire. Do you follow my point? Why? Because he did not have any natural advantage. Therefore, he had to focus on the word of God and it produced life. Now, listen to me. If a man with a natural advantage will take his eyes away from his natural advantage, he also will find that same life. And there are many people. In fact, there's a young man I have in my mind. If you look at him, you think he has a natural advantage. But if you know him well, you know that natural advantage got him nothing. He had to use the same word to get to where he is today. But when men don't understand, they start telling stories. Don't you know who his father is? Yet that man's father didn't lift a finger to help him. He studied the word of God and confessed the word of God into prosperity. But naturally, you just say, oh, this is who his father is, so that must be the cause. But it's not. That's why, you see, I told you something last time. God doesn't care about sin. Was it on Tuesday I said it? You know why? He knows the amount of grace he has available for the sinner. So to him, whether you're a sinner, naturally speaking, whether you committed plenty of sin or did not commit much at all, it doesn't mean anything. All of you need grace when you come. You follow my point? Good man, good woman, good boy, good girl, bad man, bad woman, bad boy, bad girl, all of them, once you come to the cross, you are the same. I measure the dose of grace according to the amount of recognition of your need. Not the amount of real need. What you recognize. If you think you are good, I give you little. If you think you are really bad, then good. Then you know you need me. So I forgive you much, you love much. That's what Jesus said. So God is not concerned. In the same manner, he doesn't understand disadvantages. He said, if you tap into the correct word, all those disadvantages don't mean anything. Who is the doer of the word? The fellow who recognizes that. The story I like to tell again and again, if you like, if you keep on listening to me for the next 10 years, you'll hear this story another 10,000 times. So just keep listening. The story of Jackie Mize and Terry Mize. When Terry Mize wanted to marry Jackie Mize said, I can't have children. And Terry Mize said, I don't understand that concept. He said, who says so? He says, the doctor. He said, the doctor, what does he know? Can you believe that? That's a doer of the word. It's not about, hey, sir, I want my wife to conceive. All right. Okay, now, Pastor Michael now said that, in the morning, you shall face the east. Two of you shall confess 16 times. We shall conceive in Jesus' name. We receive children. Now, those confessions are good. That's why they are bad. But really, they are not the real things. You know, I lost it like this all the time. I said, if my wife is passing on the road, and you say, ah, look at that woman. What will I just tell you? She's my wife. Did you get my point? Am I trying to confess her into my life? I've said it before. All the ones that you're saying, oh, in the name of Jesus, she's my wife. You don't know it yet. In fact, if two of us stand there and we're identical twins and you don't know whose wife it is, I want to say, she's my wife. Just watch you. Madam, I call you. You're my wife. Come approach unto me right now as it is written. And the other fellow just says, she's my wife, and continues like nothing happened. You will know that this is the real husband. This one is shouting, he's not the real one. The real one, Abba, he knows he doesn't have to shout. He knows when she reaches here. She, no matter how identical we are, she said, this one, I know him. He said, okay, both of you touch my hands, my eyes closed. Yeah, this hand, I know it very well. He knows it. So he's not trying to say, hey, in the name of Jesus, she's my wife. Oh, wife, wife, wife. I told all those shouters, you say, shout of unbelief, really. You are trying to make yourself believe. When you will have believed, you don't need that shout. You are getting what I'm saying. A doer of the word is what I'm talking about. He just knows. So Jackie, Terry Mines told Jackie that the doctor doesn't know anything. The doctor, he doesn't. He said, this is what God has said, and I'm operating by that. It was just a statement of fact. He wasn't just trying to... And he married the young woman anyway. She had her struggles because she needed to come to the place of her husband's faith. But she had three children. What happened? The word confounded the sayings of the soothsayers. Do you get my point? Listen, Christians, we are not saying that when the doctor said he was blind, if he had given me as a doctor too, I would look at it and give you the same conclusion, the results that he looked at. But what we say as believers is that we have a life that is beyond that which is natural, which was what God was trying to teach the children of Israel. That before you get into the place of abundance, where you will be thinking that everything you are getting is because of what is natural, let me first take you through affliction. Then I will sustain you in the place of affliction so that you will know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. You know, let's talk about this marriage thing for a moment again. Until then, as a book I saw,
200 questions or so to ask before you say, I do. I say, obviously, you don't have any faith. You don't. That's all I need. I don't want to say much about it. There are some questions that are basic. Like, do you have faith in the Lord Jesus like I do? That's a basic question. You know why? Now, what I'm going about that is, am I saying that, naturally speaking, it doesn't matter who her father was? I've seen men who said, if a girl is from a broken home, I can never marry her. That's his problem. But listen to me, he has his reasons. And statistics support him. There are girls who say, if a boy, a young man is born of a father that beats his wife, I can never marry him. Again, that's her problem. But listen to me, statistics support her. She will show you documentary evidence that shows that if a girl, are you getting my point? If a boy was born by an abusive father, he's likely to be an abusive husband. Listen, even, is it, are they rich in their family? Listen, all those things, naturally speaking, they have meaning. So we Christians, it's not as if we are saying we don't know what you know. We know what you know. The only thing we are saying is that there are things we know that you have no idea about. That is, if any man be in Christ, abusive father, crazy mother put together, makes no impact in his life. And like I said, listen, if we come to grace believing we are good, we get a small dose of it. So the husband that thinks, you know, I was well brought up, don't marry him. That's the one you should be afraid of. Who thinks, you know, my father treated us very well, I know I'll treat you well. No, that one is suspicious. Because the day a smoking spirit enters into him, he wouldn't know what he's up against. I've said it before, young man, young woman, you're looking for husband or wife, look for faith. Faith. If you see a totally broke, busted, and disgusted young man who has faith concerning where he's going, he's a safer husband. He's safer. He's safer. You see a young woman who wants to die for the word of God. Listen, oh, marry that one. She goes to choir. It's not an issue at all. Anybody can sing in choir. Are you getting my point? Whitney Houston, now choir master. There are plenty. So it's not choir we're talking about. We are talking about the commitment somebody has to the word of God. 785 questions to ask. My brother, to me, it's a sign that you don't have any faith at all. Now, not because those questions don't matter, but because there is something that matters more than them. That's what I am saying. He said, if a girl, her grandfather is a Dibia, she will have a Ogbanje spirit. The Ogbanje spirit that does not want to live long, enter my house. If I married you with Ogbanje spirit, the day you say I do, you see them jumping out of your ear, your nose, you will sneeze, Ogbanje will jump out. Let your Ogbanje spirit crawl into my bedroom now. You will hear scream. He said, ah, Pastor, your wife is shouting. Yeah, it is spirits that are departed. They've realized I have married her now. Enter my house. Say, her mother was a witch. And that's her problem. That is the witch's problem. She will die with her witchcraft. If she tries to influence my daughter with witchcraft, my wife with witchcraft, then her grave will be dug faster. And I won't pray for it now. You have to understand. It's not like you shouldn't pray against your mother-in-law. Amen? What you do is to pray for her and love her. This is a problem. If a wicked person doesn't repent, the more you pray for the person, the sicker and dire. I hope that my English is not too bad. The person becomes. Now, you see what I'm saying? That is what he calls the power of life. Now, what am I saying again? A merchant, we read from that Matthew chapter 13, who understands this pearl of great price, when he finds it, sells all that he has and buys it. Now listen, what you do now, say something about faith. Faith is not that I'm practicing some things. If I have it, listen to me, it reflects in every part of my life. Now, I know what I'm saying now. I will explain in a moment. And that is what determines the amount of virtue that is released to me. Are you getting me? Now, let me say something. Let's assume we all gather and we say, pearl of great price, pearl of great price, pearl of great price. And God shows us where it is. The amount of power and virtue that is released to each one is determined by the amount he's willing to pay for that pearl. You hear what I say? It is not by saying, I desire it, I desire it. The person who gets the full dose of the power is not, now listen to what I'm saying. It's not the person who prays all night and says, God, give me this pearl. It's of great price. I want it. I want it. God says, all right, sell all that you have. I will give it to you. So, what do you want to do with all that I have? Are you getting my point? You see, that's how God judges. That's how he judges. We don't know. We think it's by, you know, I told you before. See, some of the things we call Christianity, they are not Christianity. Church going is not really Christianity. Giving of offering is not primarily what Christianity is. Preaching the gospel is, you know what I'm saying? So, some of those things are easy. If you wake up at 5 a.m. to preach the gospel, it's the cheapest, easiest way. Nobody knows who's preaching. You hide inside your car, put megaphone outside. The soul that sinned shall die. Nobody knows who it is. You are taking no risk. It's not costing you anything. You're just massaging your conscience. Look, don't let people impress you with some of these religious practices. Why do you think rogues are very generous? You want to see a man of faith. Stop stealing. That's what God is saying. No, say, stop giving me money. I know you're a thief. I know. You're trying to pay me off. You steal a billion. You come to church. You say, this church is doing lunch. I give 50 million. Oh, the whole town will clap. This man has been the pillar of faith in this our community. God says, when I catch this guy, I will do him like Herod did John the Baptist. Just watch me. But everybody say, because they can't see that the struggle between him and God is stop stealing 1 billionaire. Then he ups the stakes. Say, God, you know what? Say before, I give you 10%. Apparently, that's not satisfying. We can renegotiate. How much are you asking for? Then he'll go out somewhere. Somebody will say, you will give God the first fruit. Then you will tithe on the remnant for the rest of the year. And you give special offering, he can only say 50%. Then let's give him 50%. Boys, keep stealing. Just pay this boss 50%. It's mafia, all right? That's how we do it in the mafia. No problem. You settle the boss. We take the rest. No problem. They say, his commitment has increased. We think. But God said his death is nearer. What am I saying? Is he truly a righteous man? Let God make a demand. This is another thing I want to say. I'm telling you about a man who's stealing. Again, there is a righteous man who is not stealing. He's making a billion, giving God 400 million, 600 million. God say, all right, fine, I'm happy with what you have been giving me, but now don't make any money again. Say, what did you say? Yes, I said, don't make any money again. Sit down, go home. Okay, go to Bible school. After that, go to Congo. Listen, I'm going somewhere. Will he agree or he won't? That's a measure of his faith, not the amount of money he gave out. Let me tell you something. There are decisions you have made in life. You will repent after now. You have seen that you have turned your back against God, but you've been fasting 21 days, 72 days, 100 days in a year. But God said you have turned your back. Marry this person, you said no. Don't marry this one, you want to say yes. God said, fast from now till tomorrow. What is your problem is that you don't have enough faith in me to take care of certain things for you. You can pray from now till tomorrow, I won't answer. Listen, faith, I found out, it's not all those things we do outwardly. They don't determine the amount of virtue. Sometimes, by events, God will say, go to the left, or you have to decide whether you're going to the left or going to the right. But the word of God, all right, that you know will dictate you go to the right. Now, listen to what I'm saying. That is the only reason you will go to the right is because over the last 5 days, you've been hearing a particular teaching on TV or radio or a book or you come for a Bible study and it dictates if I obey that word, I will go to the right. Listen, the degree of right I go to determines how much faith I have in that word. Are you getting my point? That's why I've told you before. That's why, listen. It annoys me. And it still does till today. When a man sees me on the road, you know how many years we were on Cosmo FM? 4 years. Preaching the word of God, initially once a week and then twice a week. Till now, I go to places to minister. And people will tell me, sir, when you were on radio, you were such a blessing. When are you coming back on radio? In my mind, if I slap you, your generations will be deaf. After you. Why? You and I reside in Enugu. If I was such a blessing to you, what is the distance between Emena and here? If I was such a blessing to you, what? How far is Abakpa from this place? If you heard I was giving out 2,000 naira to everybody who shows up, wouldn't you come? So you will see, two people will listen to the same broadcast with the same dedication as our peers. But one man will be blessed, the word will be released to him, the other one, God won't give him anything. And you see why? God said the amount of sacrifice he's willing to make for this word is not enough for it to release any power to him. To him, Pastor Banky is an entertainer. But he thinks, like I said last time, he's deceived to think he's obeying the word. I'll give him a test to show, do you really believe this thing? There was a young man one night I was preaching. He said, I said, now, there's a shirt I used to have. I don't have it anymore. I used to wear it to honor that young man. It was a sign of my ministry. I'll tell you something about it in a moment. It wasn't the quality of shirt I wore. No, not at all. My wife wouldn't buy that for me ever. In fact, if you give it to her, she won't deliver it to me. But I used to wear it. Why? I'll tell you. The young man said one night I was preaching on radio. Somewhere in Delta State, he was listening. And he heard me say, listen to this. That life is... Now, what he heard, you know, I told you the way the word of God works. I don't know. He heard me say life is spiritual. He says, after the message, I entered into the realm of the spirit. I don't know what he means. And then I went up and called my blessing from the realm of the spirit. That night, his uncle called him from Canada. And said, now that you are leaving school, what would you like to do? They talked for a while. The guy said, would you like to be a pilot? Say yes. I said, okay, good. I've obtained the forms. You will come over to Canada. You are going to a pilot school in Canada. Now, this, why am I telling the story? The young man left somewhere in Delta where he was, ran to Onitsha, bought two shirts, ran to Enugu to come and look for me. That's why I'm telling the story. I thought about the shirt. It's not as if I so like the shirt so much. I wore it only because of the story he told. So anytime I put it on, I'm not seeing the shirt. You may think it's not a high quality. There's something else I'm saying. Why did I tell the story? Listen to this. God, who judges the heart of men. Now, if that young man could do that, now imagine if he was in Enugu and I go off air and he's in Abakpa. You think they will beg him to come here? If he could come from somewhere in Delta State to Enugu, just to come and say, sir, I will soon be traveling. Before I go, please have this present to let you know that you were a blessing to me. It took that distance to come. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not even talking about his gift. Forget the gift for a while. It's the effort I am talking about. So even though I never saw him and he was never able to come here, God who saw his heart said, this is the kind of guy who can make the effort for this world. It's a reflection of the value he has placed on it. That's what I'm talking about. People walk by me and say that, sir, what was it? One day I went to preach somewhere, one woman, when I finished preaching, you know, it happens now, I'm not bragging about it. It happens a lot. There's a kind of preaching I preach, forget, you are used to me. When I go outside, one day I went somewhere to preach in the Old Path Revival here. When I finished, one man came up to me. He said, now I know what the Bible means when it says that they spoke as one having authority, that he was feeling as if he was back in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. When I went to preach somewhere, when I finished preaching, one woman ran after me. Ah! She was so blessed. Now, get what I'm saying? I told her all these goose pimples you get is emotion. It's nothing. It's emotion. Go to where Fela used to play. People used to go into a trance. You think I'm joking? One fella will come out like this. Do, the whole crowd, they are under, they are inspired. I'm telling you, till now, if Two-Face shows some girls, you faint. If, as we did here, like, not you, Jesus' name, not you. If you faint like that, I deliver you now. Look, if Two-Face, they walk up past, there are girls who want to touch. So this woman walked up to me. She ran after me. Ah! Oh, how she was so blessed. So I said, he said, please, where do I preach? Where's my church? She wanted to come. I said, sorry, madam, I don't pastor a church. Ah! Where can she hear me again? I said, well, I have an office which is here. I described the place. I said, we meet on Saturdays, 5 p.m. She said, ah, Saturday. Oh, I'm very busy on Saturdays. Busy on Saturday. You see? She's running. Ooh, ooh, ooh. If, those who have been shouting on me, pastor, start church. I said, I know they start. This is why you see my reason. You want empty people following you. I don't want. If I say, oh, this is my church, that's it. She goes to the former church, writes a resignation letter, and they'll say she has gone to look for the word. It's a lie. She has found somebody more exciting. And you'll be asking, why is God not answering? God says, I'm judging the amount of thought and study, the amount of value they have for this world. You can't see it. You can only see the amount of excitement. The amount of excitement. Meanwhile, those that don't bear any fruit, the Bible says they spring up quickly with excitement. But they cannot stand when the word comes. Listen. It's that sense of value. That's what I'm saying. That is what determines the amount of power that God will release into your life. I've told you before, you can wake up at 3 a.m. and preach. It's convenient. Men wake up at 3 a.m. to jog. Do you get my point? The word will start making demands. There's one thing that annoys my wife a lot, you know, because she does business. You understand my point? So she sells things. Sometimes a man will pay 30,000 naira for a wristwatch and be saying that she should dash him a book of 300 naira. And you know, she's my wife, all right? You know, these things are transmitted all kinds of ways. She's been with me for so long, she has learned it. My wife won't dash you a book. She can say, you are my good customer. I will dash you this tie. It's worth 2,000 naira. I dash you. But you say, madam, give me this book. Say, this book is 200 naira. You will pay for it. And you know one of the reasons why she gets even angrier? These same people will write a check, 40,000 naira to buy suits, wristwatches, cosmetics, you know, stuff like that. And they will be asking that they should be given a book for 200 naira. What does that tell you? They don't want to read it. I told you before, when I'm traveling, I always have my books in my boot. You know the way Nigerian policemen behave? When they're your boot, you open boot. When they see things like that, are you a pastor? I say, yes. Give me a book now. 200 naira, officer. No, I don't miss one. Officer, 200 naira. He said, pastor, you can't give me a book. I said, no, officer, if you don't have 200 naira, let me have it back. The thing is a joke. It's happened that again and again. It happens all the time. I collect my book in the booth. Okay, God bless you. Have a nice day. This is the interesting part. A lot of times, I have dashed them 200 naira. But I won't give you the book. I will not give you. I told the young man who used to cut my hair before, the day he found out I was Pastor Bank, he saw the book in my hand. He had cut my hair for almost 2 years. He didn't know. He used to listen to me on radio. So one day he saw me holding the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. He saw the face, saw the name, looked at me. You are Pastor Banky? I said, yes. Let me make a long story short. Where can I get the book? I told him they sell it down the road. Carry my book for inside car. I didn't give him. I used to pay him each time enough money to buy the book. He wasn't charging that much. I used to dash him money. But I did not dash him. I will come to his office. When I come, he will come help. If anything I'm carrying, help me carry to the car when I'm going. You love the car for me. I pay him his charges. The book, I did not dash him. Why? If, listen, his shop was in Polo area. And I told him the book was being sold in celebrity. I was being sold in celebrity that time. If that's how much you want to read it, you mean you can't walk from product to celebrity and pay 500 naira for the book? Though we're even selling it for how much? 300. Yeah, then. I told him, I didn't tell him, but this is what I was saying simply. I won't give you, you don't value it. I'm not talking about these people. I'm actually talking about you. Yes. Don't worry about them. Worry about you, me. Everybody say me. How much value do you have for it? That's what I'm talking about. And every day God is making demands. Remember those days in school? You will tell students to come for fellowship. They said they have to read. And you know, it makes my head ache. You can't come to fellowship. And my fellowship on Kabul were not time wasters. 2 hours was 2 hours. We met only twice a week. And we focused on the scriptures. That was where my foundation for today was laid. That was where my wife's foundation for today was laid. Listen, if you say you cannot spend 4 hours in a week, bearing in mind that there are 24 hours in one day, to go and hear the word of God because you claim you are busy, God can never release any virtue in his word to you. It's not possible. You have no value for it. If I charge 2,000 naira for people to come for seminar here, the talk will be all over town. He's charging money. When the young man who's shouting, when he wants to just talk to a girl, how much does he pay in Barcelos there? See what I'm saying? Sense of what? Value. I remember a friend of mine, once I was angry with him, I wanted to travel to go for one camp meeting. He said, you mean you're going for camp meeting? I said, but you travel for a picnic. You traveled for a picnic. You travel for a picnic. So what are you saying? You don't believe. Now listen, that's what I just described. Is the sense of value I'm talking about. Listen, a doer of the word is a person who has that sense of value. And listen, that's what the word of God is asking for. Just value me. You know what he said? Wisdom is shouting. And he now said, exalt her and she shall promote you. I don't know what I hear what I said. He said, just say this thing is valuable. And let your life reflect the fact that you know it's valuable. Then it will promote you. People think that church going is what promotes them. I've told you before, anything you do, even this offering giving, that is not driven by faith, not by faith. Faith does not mean I'm looking for something. We think faith means, yes, when I give the offering, I claim it. No! What I'm saying is this, if you really believe that this word, are you getting what I'm saying? Is valuable and it will change the lives of people, then you will give towards it. Are you getting my? That's not by giving by faith. I don't mean that you give and say, God, as I've given this pastor, he's anointed, his prayer must be powerful. That's not giving by faith. That's giving out of spiritual madness. Giving by faith. You know, I describe what faith is. Faith is just like, I know this. Look, there are times, eh? Something happened recently with my wife and I, you know. It was my wife actually, so, but I was involved in the decision making and all of that. And I thought to myself, it has to do with offerings. You understand? Offering, giving to the work of the ministry and all of that, from the process of the business you do. I said to myself in my mind, if you don't do this, you don't think God is angry. He's not angry. It's just that you are saying that whatever it is you are looking for is not contained in this word. So he's not angry. He's just telling you that, well, since we have come to an agreement that you're not expecting anything from here, go and take it from where you're expecting it. What happened? For certain reasons, she has to give a large sum of money. You understand my point? Is offering that towards the work of the gospel and all of that. And I said, look, you can say it's difficult, it's tight. Of course, she and I make those decisions. I said, the point is simple. I was saying in my heart, if you really believe, you will take the action. That's what I mean by giving by faith. I don't mean giving to bribe. Most giving are bribery giving. It's a Nigerian kind of, you know, this corruption. You carry it to church.
Nothing goes for nothing, even with God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, that's why I'm not afraid to preach the way I preach. It was, people have told me, if you don't say, people won't give money. Those of you have listened to me long enough. No, first, if you have known me long enough, Joy, you have known me for a long time. Do I look like I'm getting poorer or getting richer? Does Kingdom World Ministry look like it's getting poorer or getting richer? And I will not beg for money. You know why? Unless the word I'm preaching doesn't have power in it. You, listening to me, one day you will walk up to me and say, Pastor, there are two checks here. This is 100 million naira, it's Kingdom World Ministry. This is 50 million naira, it's for you. And I will still abuse you on top of it. Too. If you think I will say, thank you. Kind of thing. How long did it take to bring this money? I will abuse you on top of it. And you still be grateful for the insult. You come and say, Israel, you know, Pastor almost laughed me just now. And it's rejoicing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because to you is nothing. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's nothing. That's what I talk about faith. If the word really enters you and produces in your life, it is the word. There's no how it won't bring money out of your pocket. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, your life, your actions every day shows whether you value this word or you don't. That's what I'm trying to explain today. A lot of us take actions that are born out of covetousness. We are giving because we want to get, not because we believe that our future is really held by God. That is why one man gets results and the other does not. It's not about the action. Oh God, that's what I'm preaching against. It's not about that action. The heart, what is he saying before then? Life would make demand. Say, do you believe God or you don't? Is that hearing stupid statements like, you know, men from his area, they are not nice. God says, you are right. I know them. His grandfather is a goat. His father is an idiot. His uncles are morons. I know. But you have denied my power to change people. You see what I'm saying? God, I'm not angry with you. I can see the statistics is on your side. But you have denied my power to change people. There are statements we make in life every day. What we are saying to God is, I don't believe you. Let me discipline myself. Bow down your head, let us pray. It's a simple prayer. Say, Lord, make me a doer. I really don't know what I am. It's a very simple prayer. Say, Lord, make me.